Baptist Church, Morgan Hill, California, United States of America. And for those who just turn in your internet and hook to our broadcast, and you hear the Korean choir before coming here, and some voices of Bethel, as we got 15 minutes of music before going here. We cannot hear it in our church, but you hear it over the internet. Now you are on this beautiful church that will have the evening service on these continuous series, Biblical Foundation series. And we're going to start with number 255. As always, we have done this for 25 years, starting the evening service with 255. And then the selection, they will come from the people here and from the people on the internet. You can get in into our control room and request to our engineer by typing the hymn number you like it or the title you like it, as we always do on Wednesday night and so on. We thank the Lord that we can get all these goodies. Thank God for Pastor Thompson, who is an engineer on the computer and has engineered all of these for us. In the meantime, this is a real hymn who express the heart of the believer. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Personal. Do you see that? Jesus is mine. All right? Father, we have a long day through all the services in the morning and the afternoon, the Bible classes, the choir rehearsal, the children at church. Lord, how beautiful the whole day in the house of God. And we close now with these beautiful evening as we advance in our doctrinal studies, foundational studies of the scripture, what we believe. It is so beautiful tonight on the discipline of prayer. Now, Father, we pray that you bless those who just opened the internet across America, across the world. And I know that we are in the morning of Japan, where some friends there, they listen to our evening service. So bless their heart and bless their life. Bless those who just, we have new people from Texas who listen at the 3:30 p.m. class. And so, Lord, we are not only feeding ourselves here in Morgan Hill, but we are using this church as a pedestal to feed with the doctrines of truth across the world. And thank you, Lord, for this morning and for the encouragement that I received for the morning on Esther chapter 2. What a lesson for the young people and for us parents, a responsibility to counsel with wisdom their life. Now bless us tonight as we look upon the studies and as we fellowship together in the Word of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, you may choose a song now and you may have in your heart that you know from the hymn books and you like it. All right? So this is your heart. Anyone on the cathedral. Now, the new cathedral will have four layers of pews so that we can hold the people in the morning in one service. And so I really enjoy this to say section left two. You know, I'm thinking, well, what can we say? All right. Okay. Mary, did you raise your hand? No. All right. Brother Olivas. And then I guess you my... Okay. 243, Brother Soliva, the men singing this morning was very good. Darlene, they are obeying you. That's good. Those men are obeying our choir director. All right, 243, room at the cross for you. What an invitation. So glad that the cross had no end for salvation till what? The coming of our Lord. All right, Victor?
234.
234. And then Christina, I saw your hand, even though I don't saw your head. All right, she's way in the back. 234. You said?
Yes.
234, Raquel. 234.
Thank you.
What a friend we have in Jesus. All right. Mentioned to me hymn 236. Why don't we think the whole thing, all the four stanzas, number 236 is short, is powerful, and actually, will be a summary of what we learned this morning with Esther in the presence of the king. She found grace before him. And the thing I was extremely impressed about Esther too was that every lady had to come in, present it, sleep with the king on the night, then in the morning the king will tell you if he keeps her or not. But the Bible tells us in verse 10 that he saw Esther and put the crown on her, which was like a marriage ceremony for them, and then she stayed with the king. What a protection for the believer. Girls, I tell you, you don't have to be afraid of anything. God is going to protect your purity to the end of your life. What a beauty in this, all right? And you know, I'm going to give you some gossip. It's good. It's good gossip. Is that very good gossip? What's good gossip? I received a call from a boy here in the church. Said that he has a girlfriend that he likes to marry to. So I told him, you have to pass through Mrs. Otero, Mary Johnson, myself, and Pastor Johnson before you date that girl, all right? So, Chris, be careful. Okay, all right. Number 236, here we are.
Amen.
preach today in Pacific Hill at 2 o'clock? You did, Chris. All right. Beautiful. Thank you very much. And was a good meeting, Chris, with a lot of people? Okay, and those people were there? Yeah, well, it's a good training ground, no, Grace? It is beautiful. You know, as prepared my mind to ask you the question, reminds me that no church in this area want to go to, 20 blocks from here, Pacific Center, very nice place, and preach to them. No church want to. Except the Catholic Church goes with a nun, and they serve the communion to give them Christ. So the only official church of this place is us. Often I get calls to say, Pastor, will you come with all this family? We have the pastor here. So they talk like I'm the pastor of their facilities. And they're Jewish people. And so now the new buyers. And I thought, oh boy, we're going to be out of there quickly. Well, the Jewish people had no time for them. So we have the time. And now, as I said in my report this morning, the church have learned to do it and relieve this old pastor for the afternoon so I can relax a little more. So thank God that we do this service to the Lord, to these people who deserve, and they are really appreciated. Chris?
There shall be showers of blessings.
What's the number?
349.
349, all right. Good. And somebody told me that you are too happy, so please calm him down. No, we will not calm you down. Remind me when I was young and I started. It was good to hear you this morning, and your application was rude, but it was exactly right. You know, it was a little rude, I thought, but it was exactly right, you know. But I don't think the unbelievers would like that. Me? But they got the idea of what the Bible does. Cleans everything. All right, 394.
394?
349. Oh, boy, I like 394. All right, 349. Sorry, Raquel. Pardon me? 206 and then Antonito. All right? 206. The amazing grace of God. All right? Each time we sing this song, reminds me of Mrs. Moore. Everybody remember Mrs. Moore? She had a voice that would carry on. And I look to that beam each time we get to the choirs. Because as you know what it is, the voice, the tongue is energy. All right? And energy multiplied by time and by space, remember the formula? Breaks things, all right? 206.
Thank you.
3:46. Some of you will not be here next Sunday because you will be in your college in Southern California, in Santa Barbara. How many are leaving for college? Will you, okay? Will you stand? We're going to pray, all right? Will you do stand? And I know Maria already left, all right? And Daniel is already there, but we get back, Adrian back to us. So will you stand and we're going to pray for you? Okay, those who are leaving for college in Southern California. Father, how precious and how beautiful it is to have the young people with us. And now it is time for their schooling time. And so, Father, we pray for the professors, for the teachers. We pray for those who are going to take care of them. We pray for their stay alone in Southern California. But really not alone, because Jesus will be with them. And our prayers. And I'm sure the watching eye of their parents too. So thank you, Lord, that we have them during the summer and now they are leaving. And for those who are in college here, we pray and praise your name that they study. And we pray that they will have a very fruitful year ahead. They will study hard. That they will smile to the difficulties of college. And that they will trust you for the energy and for the wisdom. In Jesus we pray with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. And now we're going to close with number what? 246. Softly and tenderly. More in here and now tonight. I'm going to turn one light off. Hopefully I can see well here on the scripture and see well on my notes. I want to tell you it is a great privilege to head on these series of studies on Biblical Foundation series, and I'm going to elaborate them when we finish Esther, God's willing, one day on November, and then I'm going to elaborate a series of studies on Biblical Foundation for the morning service. Of course, will not be so familiar like in the evening with question and answers, but they will have, I want the whole church to have a basic information, which they do have, but I want to refresh their mind of what we do believe. Now, these wonderful series are like these. I just run them one by one, and you have it in your notes. You have Bible Essentials. We study what the Bible really was. We have seen and salvation, and we talk about it. And then we talk about repentance and baptism. That do not produce salvation, but they are acts of obedience. Then the Holy Spirit at work was last study, where we saw the work of the Holy Spirit through the Scripture. By the way, those sermons are on our internet, and they are placed there, as well as the Bible class in the afternoon for your information. Then, tonight, we're going to look into the discipline of prayer. And as we continue on, we're going to make the difference of faith and hope. We're not going to make the difference of two Greek words, pistis, which is a noun for faith, and pisteo, which is a verb for faith, and is translated in our Bible, hope. Then evangelism and world missions. Very, very important acts that we need to look on it, and responsibility, as Kreska said this morning. Then something important that we never have to leave off from our sermons, it is the resurrection and judgment. And then something that has been misunderstood and is biblical prosperity and generosity. As the Lord prosper you, you are responsible with the generosity of your offering to the local church. And then spiritual families and church life. What is a church life? What means Sunday for us? And things like that will be there. Now tonight, we're going to have the discipline of prayer, all right? The discipline of prayer, very important issue. I know many of you will say, I wish this was in the morning. And there will be in the morning one day, the discipline of prayer. Now, I'm going to divide it in two important brackets. Three important brackets, even though the outline said four, there will be three important brackets. The first bracket that I want to teach you is personal prayer. A lot of people are willing to have personal prayer, and they feel intimidated to public prayer, or they don't see the need of public prayer. As I talk to some people, they have shared with me, they question this business of praying publicly, okay? And so we're going to see first this one, all right? Now, be ready with your Bible and head on to the questions. Question number one will be, when and where did Jesus pray, all right? Here's the question, then, when and where did Jesus pray? And the answer is in Mark chapter 1, and in verse 35. Mark chapter 1 and verse 35. I'm very loaded with a lot of questions and things, so the service may run an hour in teaching, but it's very important. All right? Mark 1 and verse 35. The Bible said, and in the morning, rising up a great while before day, you got the idea? All right? He went out and departed into a solitary place, and there he played soccer. No, he prayed. You got it? He prayed. When and where did Jesus pray? When and where? Now, answers? Early in the morning, before the day break. Can we say that? Before the day break, in the morning. And where did he pray? Solitary place. That means he played alone. Hello. So there is room for personal prayer, isn't it? I'm going to observe Jesus so that nobody can argue. All right? So there is room for personal prayer. All right? We go to the next question. Where do the hypocrites pray? And that is in Matthew's. You're going to move the Bible a little bit tonight. Mark chapter 6 and verse 5. Here's what the Bible says. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Where the hypocrites pray? In the street. What is that? That's publicly. Is that right? publicly. Now that's not against, Jesus not talking about against public prayer, but there are people who are hypocrites, and they told me some, not in this church, thank God, but from another churches, the people pray tremendously publicly, and their life was a mess and sin. And I feel so sorry for the person who has to sit under that condition. I'm very sorry for it. See, a pastor rules by example, and that's, I've been taught in the seminary in that way, and I tell you, it's in the scripture. The pastor rules by example. But there is a question like that, and the hypocrite, there are people who like to pray publicly and so on, and you check their life as a mystery, and that's what Jesus was talking about. The next question is, where did Jesus teach his followers to pray? You are in Matthew 6:5, look at verse 6:6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. Now, I don't know why the King James used that word, because there is no other Greek word for this, for explain a little place where you read. And the old customs my grandpa used to have, a little, looks like a closet where they have a you see it in my office, a little bit inclined board, and he put a book over there and he read alone. And that's the place. It looks like a closet, but it's had no doors. And it's a little room where you're alone and you read. And this is what Jesus said, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee open. So where did Jesus teach the followers to pray? Where? In a place that will be, what kind of place is a secret place? It's a private place. Have a room, have a place where nobody hear you, and pray. When the church began, this is funny. When the church began 25 years ago, the church rent, Brother Russell made a little office in one of the office buildings of Brother Jack. Remember Jack? I have a nice, beautiful, it was beautiful, beautiful place. And I thought I locked the door of the office. I walk in the office, have a nice sign, Bethel Baptist Church. You walk into the hallway of the building, you see the church here. I thought I locked the door. I always leave the door open so people can get in. And I thought I locked the door and started praying. I saw the budget, the money was not there. And I said, Lord, I'm praying privately, I thought. Lord, how this happened? Dr. McCormack was there. And look at the offering. And unknown to me, Dr. McCormack opened the door. And he's listening to my prayers. He said, stop and give her next Sunday, I put the money. So be sure it's private. Be sure it's private, all right. In a private place, there are things only you and God should know. That's why public prayer should be very careful. You're going to talk about your children, you're going to talk about your wife, you're going to talk about your husband. It has to be extremely private. There has to be a private place for that, all right? That's what it is. Now, to whom did Jesus say we should pray? We are in Matthew 6. Let's get the idea. In verse 6, he said we pray privately. Verse 8 and 9. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. Is not that great? Alright, now verse 9. After this manner, before therefore pray ye, our Father which are in heaven. Now ladies and gentlemen, he's talking to Jewish people. And the application is obvious. Before Jesus came and died and resurrected, and you were saved through him, no one addressed God as our Father when he prayed. Actually, no one can address God. He addressed what? What was the person that you addressed before prayer? Remember the tabernacle and so on? Who was the person you addressed to? The high priest. Nobody dared to address Elohim or Jehovah. As a matter of fact, if a Jew see the word Jehovah today, he covers his head because he's unclean before God. And nobody dares to tell him what he needs. He needs to go to the high priest. Because of Jesus, we have been adopted in the Beloved. Put one hand here and go to Ephesians chapter 1 in verse 5. And I give you the answer why we can pray in the way that Jesus said. All right? Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 5. And look at what the scripture says in Ephesians 1:5. Ephesians 1 verse 5. Having predestined us unto the adoptions of children by Jesus Christ. See, after the death of the Lord Jesus, and we come to believe in the Lord by convicting power of the Spirit, we have been adopted by God as children of God. So now I can call God not only God, but because of Jesus' priesthood, but I can call God my Father, because I have been adopted into the family of God. We have this morning one lady who was adopted into the life of one man who was here, and then she's part of his life by adoption. And we are part of God's people by adoption. Who are the children of God? The true children of God. They were not adopted, but they are children of God. Are the Israel, the Jewish people. They were. And they reject God. So did they frustrate God? No. He expanded his kingdom into the world and adopted you as a child of God. As a matter of fact, the King's memory, a verse in Galatians 3. Let's see if you help me where we are no Jew. I think it's 28 or 29 in Galatians where they said there is no Jew and there is no Gentile. Galatians chapter 3 verse 28 said, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed. See the adoption? You can say, I'm a child of Abraham. And a Jew will say, oh, far away from you. Well, I will look like a child of Abraham because of my nose breaks, all right? I look like a Jew. But it's no you, some of you don't look like a Jew. But we are Jewish people, adopted in the Beloved. And so, you see, personal prayer. Don't stop to pray. The Jew will beg to pray to God, but they can. Only once a year, they have to go into the high priest, and the priest go into the Holy of Holies and bring the prayers to God, see if they are accepted. We have tremendous freedom. We have Christ is our high priest, number one. Number two, we are adopted of God, and we can call God the Father, Elohim Jehovah, we can call Him our Heavenly Father. What a privilege. I don't think that people understand prayer. Otherwise, people would pray more. All right? Okay. Now, we go now to see something very, very important. And I'm going to escape the application. I don't put it there, so you pay attention. The power of prayer. All right? Let's go to the power of prayer. Okay? You're in Matthew 6. You keep your hand over there because here is the first question. What does Jesus promise to those who ask, seek, and knock? Matthew chapter 7 and verses 7 to 11. What? Now, all the people here believe the Bible is the Bible, and what the Bible said really mean it. Now, if you don't believe that, then it's useless what we do. But we believe what is called in the Baptist world, the literal interpretation of the Scripture. Whatever the Scripture says is what the Scripture really means. Alright? If the Scripture says white, it's white. If the Scripture says black, it's black. We cannot change the meaning of the words. Alright. May I read Matthew 7, verse 7. Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks, receive, and he that seek, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Oh, what man is there of you, whom if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, again the word Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? So, what does Jesus promise to those who ask, seek, and knock?
He promised one word.
I need one word.
He promised an answer. He promised an answer.
Now, I want to teach you something. Here in verse, the scripture described in verse 11, shall your father. So, see, doctrine is important. You build upon doctrine, and then you find the Bible built upon doctrine, knowledge of doctrine, and you read a passage here, and sometimes you don't understand it because you lack basic doctrines here. So, we call God our Father, not because as we call like this, it's because it's an identification that we are the children of God by adoption. And then, the Bible said, we ask God, we seek for God, and not only that, and we knock and say, God, I have no answer, and I need an answer. We do that because God answered prayer. God answered prayer. I'm so convinced of that. So sold of that. So convinced. All right? Next question. What does Jesus say we must do for our prayers to be answered? All right? Mark Gospel. The next Gospel is Mark. You're in Matthew. The next Gospel is Mark 11 and 24. What does Jesus say we must do for our prayers to be answered? At Matthew chapter 11, verse 24. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Alright, the question again. What does Jesus say we must do for our prayers to be answered? Believe. Don't pray if you don't believe, will you? Let me give you the counsel. Do not pray if you do not believe God can answer your prayer. Alright? Next question, please, is this. What can we receive if we pray and believe? Go back to Matthew 21 now. Matthew 21 and verse 22. Matthew 21 and verse 22. The Bible says, and all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. What can we receive if we pray and believe? I guess, what? All things. What is all things? I mean, you have something in your heart. And it's really a burden in your heart. You can go to God. Remember, I'm talking about private prayer here. And bring that burden to the Lord. Believing, and you will receive. Now comes some conditions. And here they are. What can hinder a prayer? Alright? No, I think it missed one. Yeah, it missed one. What must be a reason we don't receive what we ask for? That's what I was looking. What must be a reason we pray if we do not receive what we ask for? Is in James chapter 4 and verse 3, as you see it on the screen. Ye ask, said the Bible in James 4:3, and receive not, because you ask amiss. I wish the word amiss was amartia, which is you ask in sin, but the word here, you ask amiss, that the scripture uses in James 4:3, is you ask with a selfish motivation, that ye may consume it upon your lust. You ask in a selfish, evil motivation. Wow. It's a strong word. It's not even the word amartia sin. Is you're asking just to satisfy your evil mind. That is heavy, all right? How can some people, to satisfy their evil mind, be like that? Talking to God in prayer is because they do not know who is God. And so you ask in that way and you receive absolutely nothing. Now, here is what I'm looking for.
What can hinder our prayer? The first one is in Psalm 66. It is my favorite reminder to myself if when I pray, if I have a clean heart. Psalm 66 and verse 18 and verse 19. What can hinder my prayer life? Psalm 66 and verse 18 and in verse 19. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily, God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. I read that verse 19 to explain a Greek, a Hebrew word. You see the word in 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. The word hear me is the word shama, which means you hear and you obey. But you can hear and say, oh yes, yes, and don't do anything about it. And so that's what verse 19 said. But verily, God hath heard me. That's a different word, Hebrew word. And He hath attended to the voice. He hear my voice. He hear my prayer. He knows what I ask Him for. And verse 18 said, He's not going to do anything about it. All right? If I regard sin, secret sin in my heart, I can pray. God hear my prayer in the sense of the sound of my prayer. And He understand what I said. But He said, I will not do anything about it. I love the Hebrew because it's so precise. He said, Shema, I hear and obey. And God said, I will not. Goodbye. I know what you pray, but goodbye. I cannot answer you because that should be a sign to us. Should be a sign to us why would God did not answer my prayer. All right? Now, the next one will be on James 1, verse 6 to 8. James, we go back to the last books of the Bible. James 1, verse 6 to 8 is very common. First one is common. The second one is common. Why would God not answer your prayers? You know, when some people criticize the Pentecostal church, that they pray intensely. I admire their heart and prayer believing because they believe. And they are not doing anything wrong in believing what they pray. You cannot command God to do it. That's the part that I don't like about the prayer on the Pentecostal church. But I like the spirit that they pray believing. Look in verse 6. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And so therefore, what is the second thing that can hinder your prayers? Doubt. You pray, but you say, well, I know this is impossible. You don't have the drive, all right? You wave. You pray in this way and you act in the other way. I tell you, what is it? You pray and you do not wait for the answer. You pray and you do not wait. We pray to buy a property and we pray for sell the property and we wait until the opportunity came in. All right? Boys and girls, you pray for a boyfriend or for a girlfriend and you don't wait for the Lord so you get whatever comes at hand. Yet? How long you have to wait? Well, I wait 7 years for Raquel. You wait 25. Yeah, right. See? You wait. The Lord's going to bring it. Who brought the first girl to Adam? God did. And you think He's not going to do the same thing? We make a mess when we took a choice in our own desperate need. You know? One time a lady came in the pastor office, there comes all kinds of things. One lady came and said to me, I'm 35 years old, I'm too old, I better get whatever I can get. Is that waiting upon the Lord or what? All right. You see here, don't wait. If you believe that God is going to do that, don't do something else. So that's wavering. And the scripture is very, in verse 7, is very strong. Let not that man think that he's going to receive anything from the Lord. If you wave, the Lord is, you're going to fool the Lord. He sees your heart. All right? Now one more. This is for husbands. 1 Peter chapter 3. Many husbands know this, but they ignore it. All right? And it's very, very, very important. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. Likewise, you know, every husband quotes 1 Peter 3, 1 to 6, but they forgot verse 7. Here is verse 7 for husbands. Likewise, ye husband, dwell with them, studying your wife, according to knowledge, is ginosko, experiencing the conditions of your wife, giving honor unto the wife, unto a very delicate person, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. You don't treat your wife in the right way God is specified in the scripture, and your prayers cannot be answered. So boys, you're not free from anything. When you get married, be sure it's a very difficult condition. If you do not handle your wife in the way that God wants you to handle, with care and gentleness and kindness and motivation, then your prayers will not be answered. No wonder some people don't have prayer meetings, because they have no... See, a prayer is more than praying. A prayer really frames your life, all right? Your lifestyle. It's not just praying. You need to have a lifestyle so God can use you. Any priest can pray in the Old Testament and bring the prayer to God? Any priest? No. Who was the priest? The only priest that can pray and bring the offering to God. Who was? The high priest. So we are high priests in the sense that we have been bestowed into the priesthood of God. Alright? Very, very, very important. I thank you for your health. I'm going to repeat this when I start again, but I'm going to finish. I have 10 points on this. It's very important. And then I'm going to get corporate prayer in the next one, because prayer is my topic. So I start writing. And I like to talk 4 or 5 hours, but you're not Spanish, so I cannot talk to you 4 or 5 hours. When I get to Jenny's Park, I talk to them. My sermons are 4 hours. They are beautiful. All right? Here it is. Here we go. In whose name should we pray? I'm talking about private prayer. In whose name should we pray? I mark here Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. All right? I think what I want here is Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20, rather than Philippians 4:6. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 5:20. Correct my Japanese computer mistake. Now, you see that? Ephesians 5:20. That's required. That's why you pray. So why do you close your prayers? There are some people who have the courage not to close their prayers in the name of Jesus. When the Bible says you pray in the name of Jesus, who other name do you want to pray? You cannot pray in your name. That's why we close our prayer in the name of Jesus. Because He is a high priest. Okay? Number 7. How can we get to God? John 14. You know by memory. Alright? John 14 and verse 6. John chapter 14 and verse 6. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Who is me? Jesus. The word me ends in the same way the word Jesus. When Jesus here, so Jesus said, the word Jesus in the noun form ends in the same way the pronoun, and so we know it's called the antecedent. It's talking about the Lord Jesus. And so, therefore, the Bible tells us, how do we get to God? It's, you cannot have other way. That's why the Muslim religion doesn't work. Hinduism doesn't work. Catholicism, if they pray in the name of other person than Jesus, doesn't work. You know, I received from the fathers of something in Southern California, all kinds of things they mail to me every month and so on. And in one card he said, pray for the protector of your highway. I need to pray for the highway. You need to pray for the highway. But not to this guy that they send me in the car, all right? We need to pray in the name of Jesus. That's it. All right? Now, next one. How many mediators are there between God and us? And this is the problem of theology and the centuries. By the year 800, the Catholic Church added the saints as part of the mediating work of God. And you can see that in their theology books. But if you look in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 5, the Bible said, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men. What is it? And the Bible used the word anthropos, the man Christ Jesus. When Jesus came to this earth, he was the high priest. And you pray in the name of the high priest, and the Bible used the word man, anthropos, to make connection with the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, we have a high priest. In the New Testament, we have a high priest. Of course, Jesus is not from the order of Aaron. He came from the order of Melchizedek, who has no father, remember? And has no mother. All right? So that's beautiful. Now, next question, number 9. What were the results of the disciples' prayer? Because see, you pray. Do you get any results in prayer? I don't want to give you a testimony. I have testimony. My wife has testimony of her mother praying in different circumstances over and over. But I want to use the scriptures so that nobody can argue against these. And nobody can say, oh, this is Pentecostal or this is Baptist or so on. Acts 4, 31. You know the story of these in Acts 4 is when Peter was in jail and he was up and so on. And look at what the Bible says. And I'm going to elaborate the coming Sunday this when we meet again to on the second Sunday on September because this is part of public prayer. We read in Acts 4:31, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken. All right? Where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spake the word with boldness. You notice how tremendous was. They prayed together, and they got a result. What was the result? They spoke the word with boldness. They had no doubts about the word of God. They were strong in the word of God. They knew what the word of God said, and they no doubted what God said, and they lived the word of God in their life. And young people, if you want to be strong in what you believe, not only you have to study, you have to pray. God, lead me into truth that I may practice and live the truth, even though if that means some of my friends had to go away. I was taught in that way. The word of God will clean up your way. Those who believe like you will be with you. Those who believe not like you, they cannot be your friend. It can be somebody acquainted, can be somebody, but cannot be your personal friend because they do not believe like you. They are no one with you. Tremendous. Prayer, boy. The study of prayer is not just get together and pray. The study of prayer, clean up your way. One more, please, on the power of prayer. What were Paul and Silas doing? You know these. What were Paul and Silas doing in jail? Look at it. Acts chapter 16. All right? And verse 25. Look what the scripture says. Acts 16, verse 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas pray. And where were they? They were in jail. That means a difficult situation where you had no power whatsoever. Have you ever been in your life in power well, different business and work and things like that. You have no control. So you pray. What happened that day? Come on, class. What happened? They were released from jail because the jail shake up. A miracle happened. And shake up and they were released. And some people were saved as a result of the prayer of the Apostle Paul. But they do not panic. They do not say, well, why can't we engineer ourselves to get out of here? They pray. And they pray so good. They look at the Bible. The only verse here says that they pray. What the scripture said in verse 25. Not only they pray, the son praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. The guy was saying, hallelujah. And they were in, you know, they were all clapped like that. And they looked at each other. Let's sing some songs and song. And they were all happy about it. And you know, an earthquake came in and the whole story. So, personal prayer is good. And power in prayer is good. But boy, then we need to do a lot of cleanup in our life if we want to have power and prayer. It's not just to come here at 7 o'clock or turn on the internet and hear the church and so on and receive the prayer list. But you pray and God answers. That your life has to be clean and straight before God. Straight forward before God. You can look to God eye to eye. And if you have something, you say, God, cleanse me. Cleanse me. I have this problem. Cleanse me. Cleanse me. And when you pray... Now, let me ask you a simple question. It's not here, and we finished all the questions next time we meet. But let me ask you this question. Do you think the power of prayer is different today than in the time of the apostles? That's what the Baptist church believe. Because they are not praying. That's what people believe. Well, they pray them. Do you know how the world gets evangelized? By prayer. By prayer. These people pray. Here is a master theologian, Paul, in jail, snapping his face and feet. And he prayed and relaxed. He's reading. He said, God's going to do something. I don't know what it is, but it's going to do. When Peter was in there to be executed, then he was so relaxing that he fell asleep. And the angel said, Peter, get up. The door is open. Get up. These people relax. Your life will relax. You don't need any thing for depression. If you really are clean before God and you pray, leave everything in God's hand. Believe me, that's what I learned from the scripture. You have to learn that. The chaos in my life, and that, you know, no life is without chaos. But you need to do what this man did. He just pray and say, God, take care of that. But his life was clean. And that's the problem of the lack of prayer and the lack of power today. The life of people are not clean. And so therefore, God hear your sound, but will not shama you, will not hear and obey. May your life be straight and clean before God. Then you pray and watch it. God is going to answer. Tomorrow sometimes 3 or 4 years later. But he's going to answer. Because God is faithful. Thank you, Father. For personal prayer and for the power of prayer. Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you. Now, later on, when we see congregational prayer, Father, we know how important it is. Oh, Lord, work in our life in such a way that we become afraid of you. That we create a fear of how we live so that we can pray. And you will answer. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. All right.